It is Tuesday, January 17th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, the search for Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 has been suspended. A human rights organization says European values and rights are slipping amid security clampdowns, and singer Mariah Carey has more struggles following her New Year's Eve performance controversy. It's all ahead. The joint deep-sea search for Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 was officially suspended Tuesday with no definitive answers as to why the Boeing 777-7 on a flight from Malaysia to China March 8, 2014, disappeared without a trace with 239 people, mostly Chinese, on board. Liao Chong Lai is the Malaysian transport minister.
It is not an easy search. It is very difficult, unprecedented water. We have gone through all this difficulty and we are committed to the search. So we managed to complete the 120,000 square kilometer search. Unfortunately, we are unable to find the plane, MH370.
He said the search, which has cost tens of millions of dollars, could resume if there's found to be credible evidence of the plane's fate. The latest search area by Australia, China, and Malaysia was located west of Australia in the Indian Ocean. The next of kin support group, Voice 370, said extending the search to an area north of the current search zone is an inescapable duty owed to the flying public in the interest of aviation safety. Clyde Kessler, an Australian expert on Malaysia from the University of New South Wales, tells International Edition's Victor Beattie from Kuala Lumpur he's disappointed but not surprised.
I'm disappointed because I would like to have seen them find something. And I'm disappointed also because I think you can never call a search like this off completely. If a plane goes missing, a commercial airliner, the effort to find out what happened must never cease until people find out. They've done a very thorough job in that whole area. They've found nothing. It may have been the right area. It may not have been. In addition to which, there may not be any substantial wreckage to find. The southern Indian Ocean there is like the inside of a large and crazy washing machine, and it will break up pretty much most things that get drawn into the whirlpool effect. So the plane itself may now be nothing more than little pieces rather than an integral wreck somewhere to be found and located.
There's a support group of next of kin of those families of the victims called Voice 370 issuing a statement. In our view, extending the search to the new area defined by experts is an inescapable duty owed to the flying public in the interest of aviation safety.
To the extent that they have now identified another area that has some possibility of yielding some result, I do think that that option has to be explored and explored as thoroughly as possible.
Of course, there were some tantalizing leads of debris wreckage believed linked to MH370 found along the coast of East Africa, but really no definitive evidence that would give us any idea where it ended up. What is your view?
It's quite likely that pieces may continue to wash up around the Indian Ocean for some time yet, and perhaps people will be lucky and something will show up somewhere that will eventually provide the basis for an answer. But it's an unsatisfactory situation now, and it was an unsatisfactory situation when the plane first went missing and the decision was made not to attempt to intercept the aeroplane when it recrossed the Malay Peninsula and to try and ascertain what, if anything, had gone wrong in the plane at the time. And this is a decision that was made by, I suppose, the Malaysian and Thai Air Forces that picked up that aeroplane returning across the peninsula on their radar and chose not to respond. And the whole world, including the aviation industry and certainly the families of the victims, are paying a very, very heavy price now.
That's Clyde Kessler of the University of New South Wales. A statement by the transport ministers of the three search nations said the decision to suspend was not taken lightly or without sadness, but they remain hopeful that new information will come to light and that at some point the aircraft will be located. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's going on?
Well, here we are just 3 days before the United States has a new president. The inaugural will happen on Friday at noon, just literally steps from where we are here in Washington. And it is the topic of various hashtags floating around out there on social media, but one that seems to both collect Trump support, news about the inaugural, Trump opponents, all that. So it's relatively, I think, sort of balanced as hashtag Inaug 2017, I-N-A-U-G 2017. So people supporting Trump, people who are opposed to Trump, people just kind of looking for information about what might be having here. Under this hashtag, here's a map, a comprehensive map, shows all the street closures, all the basic ways that people can get in. As you have seen, Sarah, here in Washington, lots of fences and gates. It looks like we're being penned in. I don't know if this, how this, what this may foretell about the next 4 years. But anyway, so there's that. Here's Leslie Abravanel, who's tweeting out, "Thank you at Real Donald Trump for already creating jobs. My friend is being paid to be a seat filler at your inauguration." So tongue in cheek there. Here is something. Let's see. Maria PMP, I'm not sure who that is. "A lot of jealous trolls out there tonight, but finally we'll have a real leader in the Oval Office." Here's Kevin Jackson. "I'm glad some Democrats won't attend. Hashtag Inaug 2017. It's the beginning of drain the swamp, so less stench." And here's an item from Dan Berger. He is in Washington, D.C. Looks like he has a view of 7th Street and collections of people marching there. We're going to be seeing a lot more of that. Protests are being planned in all the 50 states and certainly here in Washington on Saturday. But for Friday, we don't know. I think it's going to be a lot of Trump supporters. Kind of a pared down event this year. Usually there's all kinds of balls and parades and all that kind of thing. But the Trump inaugural committee is basically saying there's only going to be a few balls, inaugural balls. The parade itself is going to be, you know, much smaller than it has been in the past. So maybe not as much of the pomp that we've seen before.
Yeah, should be interesting.
In any event, yes, it should be.
Coming up on Friday. Well, thanks a lot, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories trending. The chief suspect in the Istanbul New Year's attack is captured. The wife of the Orlando nightclub shooter will appear in court on Tuesday. The latest polls say that President-elect Donald Trump begins his presidency as one of the least popular presidents in decades, and Russian President Vladimir Putin accuses the Obama administration of spreading false information about Trump. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOAnews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Ants have a reputation of being dedicated and hardworking creatures. But did you know that, like humans, ants also seek to maintain a healthy balance of work and rest? While an ant colony appears to be filled with busy workers, according to new research, there are also a number of ants just lying around and not doing a thing. Rather than belittling them for not carrying their share of the workload, these so-called lazy ants are still providing a valuable service to their colony. According to scientists at the Missouri University of Science and Technology, it's important for some of the ants to take it easy and not use too much of the group's food, energy, and resources which the colony needs to be productive. The researchers also found that the larger the colony, the more important this work-rest balance becomes. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Mariah Carey, following her New Year's Eve performance, continues to have difficulties. A new report by Amnesty International says rolling states of emergency, blanket surveillance, selective house searches and detentions, and legislation to strip some citizens of their nationality are among a raft of counter-terror measures that are threatening cherished European values and freedoms. I spoke with reporter Lisa Bryan in Paris about Amnesty's concerns about the securitization of Europe.
Well, Amnesty says that essentially it does understand that states have to take sort of a harder response to a wave of terrorist attacks. But what it says is that since 2014, over the last 2 years, it's really seen a change in how Europe's values, how Europe's rights have been, according to Amnesty, eroded in a search for security solutions. And what it says is that that's changing not only these values and rights, but also the way that security is being considered. It's kind of now, it's more of a state sort of sponsored thing rather than something to protect the citizens in Europe.
Well, looking at the recent terror attacks in Paris and in Brussels, how have those countries, how have France and Belgium, boosted precautions against possible terror strikes?
Well, I mean, it's first good to know that both in France and Belgium, I mean, both the governments were criticized for sort of failing to prevent the terrorist attacks. In Belgium, there was one. France has had three major attacks. Since then, governments have both imposed stronger surveillance measures, house arrests, have discussed tougher issues like stripping nationality of citizens. It never passed in France and Belgium. There was a tougher measure to a law that already allows dual nationals to be stripped under very unusual situations. And what rights groups, including Amnesty, say is that in many cases they unfairly target foreigners, especially Muslims.
And what about concerns regarding upcoming elections, such as those that will be taking place in France?
Yeah, France has not just one election. France has a presidential election in May and April, the first and second rounds. And it also has legislative elections in June. And what the government has said is that it is extending the state of emergency. This is for the fifth time to go into July to cover both sets of elections so that there is, you know, more security, et cetera. Now, it's important to note that a lot of people say that states of emergency don't necessarily increase security, but they do increase people's sense of security. And so Amnesty and some of the rights groups are saying, you know, this could turn into sort of the status quo, and that other countries are sort of taking inspiration from this kind of rolling state of emergency to enact similar sorts of legislation, though not necessarily states of emergency. Just to give the other side, I mean, critics say that rights groups are sort of exaggerating the situation and that states are, of course, get criticized for tough measures, but then if a terrorist attack takes place, they also get criticized for having missed it.
That's reporter Lisa Bryant in Paris. This is VOA.
On Friday, January 20th, the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, will be sworn into office. VOA will be there and will broadcast the presidential inauguration live from 1600 UTC to 1800 UTC to audiences around the world. Tune in as we begin the next chapter in American history, right here on VOA.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong.
You love music?
How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
Thank you. This is International Edition. The new year didn't get off to a great start for pop singing icon Mariah Carey. VOA Top 20 Countdown host Ray McDonald tells International Edition's Jim Stevenson the fallout from her nationally televised debacle continues several weeks later.
If you're lonely, I need a friend.
Jim, what started out as just a bit of a train wreck on live television has really turned into a much more interesting conflict centering around her very controversial manager. Mariah's entire professional career has been turbulent. Now, for those who don't know, back on December 31st, Mariah was appearing on the New Year's Rockin' Eve TV special. She encountered some problems, she said, with her earpiece. Mm-hmm. She couldn't hear the backing tapes. And she couldn't count on her backup dancers to give her the beats or the music because they were on stage with her dancing around her. So Mariah ended up just walking around with her microphone. She asked the crowd to sing. After a while, she pretty much just left.
All right.
This has morphed into something much bigger. Entertainment Weekly is reporting that Mariah has fired her creative director, Anthony Burrell. It was his decision to move the backing dancers closer to Mariah, and apparently she felt that that's what threw her off. And now Mariah's ex-husband has entered the fight. This is former Sony Music chief Tommy Mottola. Now, he wrote a statement in the New York Post urging Mariah to seek more seasoned and respected professionals to guide her career. Now, this is seen as a shot at Mariah's manager, Stella Bulochnikov. Now, Stella took over Mariah's career about a year and a half ago, and she's very outspoken. Critics are charging that she is isolating Mariah. A lot of Mariah's old team is now gone. So right now it seems to be pretty much just Stella and Mariah. And Tommy is saying this would never have happened when Mariah was with us at CBS Sony. Stella Bulochnikov responded by calling Tommy Mottola a relic, and she wondered if he delivered his message by rotary phone.
Ouch.
Yeah, exactly. Burn. So the question is, where does it go from here?
We're not any stranger to having mishaps during live performances. This isn't the first time that a performer has had to go through this, but my goodness, the social media explosion over this was phenomenal.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's often done to have performers work with pre-recorded backing tapes. It's standard procedure more often than not. But a lot of Mariah Carey's critics said she could have handled it a whole lot more professionally. And this has certainly got people talking about her. And as you know, there's an old dictum that says there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Right.
So if you're into juicy gossip, this is a real motherlode.
Always on cue and doing a great show is our own Ray McDonald. He's our Top 20 Countdown host. You can hear him every week on VOA 1. And of course, he's out there on social media as well.
I'm out there stirring up trouble on social media at Ray on the Hits.
Follow all the trouble in the hits with Ray. Thanks so much.
You got it, Jim.
Music of Mariah Carey. Well, former U.S. astronaut Gene Cernan, the last man to walk on the surface of the moon, died Monday at the age of 82. Cernan was a Navy captain when the U.S. space agency NASA chose him and 13 other astronauts for the Apollo moon program, created after President John F. Kennedy announced the goal of landing a man on the moon by the end of the 1960s. Cernan flew on Apollo 10 in May 1969, the final manned lunar test flight before Apollo 11's historic landing 2 months later. 3 years later, in December 1972, he commanded Apollo 17, the last manned mission to the moon. Cernan retired from the Navy and NASA in 1976 and later did television commentary for early space shuttle flights. In other news, Tibetan protesters in Switzerland say they're frustrated with the Swiss government for allegedly making it more difficult for them to protest a visit by Chinese leader Xi Jinping. On Sunday, Swiss authorities gave a two-hour window for the Tibetans to protest before Xi Jinping arrived for an official reception in Bern. Some 32 Swiss-Tibetan protesters were arrested as they shouted anti-Beijing slogans outside the Swiss parliament in Bern. Police said the demonstrators had moved beyond the area authorized for the protest. One Tibetan man in his 20s was stopped as he attempted to self-immolate, according to Bern police. The Office of Tibet in Switzerland said all of those detained were released later the same day. The head of the Tibetan Association, which organizes the protests, complained that the Swiss government's reluctance in issuing permits will affect protests planned for Tuesday, today, and Wednesday. Well, that is our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Today, as we observe Religious Freedom Day, we note the recent successes and accomplishments of the U.S. State Department in promoting religious liberty, said Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, David Saperstein.
Clearly, as you look back on my 2 years here at the State Department, our ability to assist Secretary of State Kerry in his finding that ISIL's activities in Iraq constituted genocide against the Yazidis, Christian Shia communities, and crimes against humanity against the Kakai and the Mandeans and other minority groups was a very important achievement here, and kind of had the impact of grabbing the attention of the international community.
This worldwide attention made it possible to hold two pledging conferences that helped raise over $2.2 million from countries around the world to help make it possible for these religious minorities to return home safely. The United States as a country will continue its commitment to the principle of religious freedom at home and abroad, said Ambassador Saperstein.
I am very optimistic that the robust efforts on behalf of religious freedom that has marked the last several administrations, Republican and Democrat, will remain a hallmark of our foreign policy moving into the future. It really shows the consensus view that religion plays such an influential role in foreign policy issues that we confront and must be addressed more effectively, must engage religious communities around the world on behalf of the values and interests that we promulgate.
Religious liberty is one of America's great contributions to the world, said Ambassador Saperstein. And as an American, I'm extraordinarily proud to see how many countries join us in that vision of the fundamental rights of people to live equally as citizens without regard to their religion. The United States is making a difference in the world on this issue and will continue to do so.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On Friday, January 20th, all eyes will be on Washington, D.C. for the inauguration of the 45th U.S. President, Donald J. Trump. Be a part of history. Join VOA for 2 hours of special live coverage, broadcast on radio and television, and available on the internet at voanews.com. Tune in Friday, January 20th, starting at 1600 UTC.